Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It's okay. Let's get into the word this morning. I have a fairly short word, but I hope this will encourage you this morning. I'm really excited about tonight to have His Majesty's ministries here. And let's get into this thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 1. We'll start there. Naomi's not here. She has a bit of flu this morning. So, you know, we just thought it would be better for her not to come in with Joshua as well. So she sends her love to you guys. Thank you so much for your overwhelming response. All right. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples. Everybody say our examples. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, or as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Wow. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Amen. We'll stop there for just a minute, and I just want to talk to you guys a little bit this morning. If you study the Israelites as they came out of Egypt, you'll notice that they went through some stuff. Now, it's very clear, and we speak about this, that that it's a type and shadow of the church. And it's very clear from this passage of Scripture that that's exactly what it is. Amen. And these guys that were in the wilderness and walked with Moses, in fact, even before they came into the wilderness, we see a type and shadow of the church, and we see them go through different trials and tribulations and temptations and different things, but we also see them fail at many of those things. And, you know, I'm just going to give you really quickly just a few things there. We see that they struggled with lust. They complained, and there were so many different things that came against their leadership. They did all kinds of different things that caused them to end up being destroyed or not to make it through. And how many of you know that in your life as a Christian, you are going to have to deal with things that come against you? To get to your promise, to get to your destiny, to get to the ultimate place where God really wants you to go, you are going to go through some things. And those things will come to you and they will test you. And sometimes those tests will be very difficult. Sometimes those tests will really be more in your flesh. The reality is what they will do is they will test you and your character more than anything else. They're going to test whether you're going to be able to withstand. They're going to test whether you're going to be able to handle when people come against you. They're going to test all the different things that will test your character and your morale. And it will not always be easy. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but if you thought that being a Christian was just going to be a rose garden. I found out a long time ago that I love being a Christian because I serve the most wonderful, amazing God, and there's promises for me and protection for me and all that stuff. But I've also realized that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm working towards where I'm supposed to be. So in my development and in getting to that place where God wants me ultimately to be, there's going to be some character changing and some stuff in me that needs to change, right? So this stuff will come against you to test you, to see what's in your heart, to see if you can handle it. Now, the good news is the very next scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody say that. Come on. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The word temptation there in the Greek is the word perasimos, which not only speaks of temptation, but also speaks of a test or a trial. So that Greek word means temptation, test, or trial. And so while you walk with God, you will go through things in your life. I don't know about you, but how many of you find that you many times have to go through the same thing? Well, maybe something's busy happening. Maybe we need to handle that thing that comes against us, or that temptation, or that sin, or that anger, or that hurt, or whatever it is that keeps on seeming to be a pattern in your life. Maybe we need to learn to handle it differently. The amazing thing about God is that He's made every single one of us differently. He's created you with a makeup, with a design. Your fingerprint is different. Your character, your personality. He has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. And every single one of us is created uniquely. So oftentimes we'll stand and we'll look at someone and go, sure, why can't I have it easy like that guy? He's just that Pastor Alex, just that's so easy for him, you know. God created you the way you are. You won't be able to handle what I have to handle. I won't be able to handle what you have to handle. God has created you, and He's put something inside you that gives you the ability to overcome everything that comes against you. Every trial, every test, every temptation, every time. How many of you have been in that place where you just say, God, I can't do this. I can't overcome this. I need you. The reality is that you can overcome. You will be able to make it. You will not be destroyed because you have been given everything you need inside of you. Because He created you uniquely, individually. He already knew what you were going to go through, and He put everything in you so that you would not be able to be tempted or tested or tried beyond what you are able to handle. Come on, guys, this is good news. There are moments in my life, in our lives, where we feel overwhelmed by everything going on, by our schedule, by our life, by our time, with the things going on with the kids, and this one's drama, and this is busy happening, and this person at the church, and this cousin, and this mother, and this uncle, and all this stuff going on, and it just feels like you can't. But you have been created, and everything is in. God has put something in you to give you the ability to overcome. To give you the ability to make it through. The feeling of being overwhelmed is absolutely real. I don't deny that for one second. I have been in my walk with God so many times where I've been at a point where I think, I just am not going to make it through this, Lord. This is just too much. But somehow, somehow I've made it through. I've counseled people. I've spoken to people where they'll say to me, for example, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this right and that right, but it just doesn't feel like I'm getting the breakthrough. And I think to myself, but look at you. Most people are looking at you and thinking, I want to be like that. Because actually it's not that bad, and somehow you seem to have been making it all the time. And the last time you thought you weren't going to make it, you actually somehow made it. But you know, you complain because we complain because we think that, you know, because we don't have maybe an abundance or because we had to go through that God wasn't there. But the reality is you're here. Yeah. So you made it. Amen. You're still going. You're still alive. You didn't collapse. You didn't go broke. You may have not been able to eat that week, but the week after you ate again. So somehow you made it. Amen. I mean, God didn't provide. Well, He provided the week after. That week he let you go through it because He wanted to see whether you were going to give up on Him. He wanted to see whether you were going to say, oh, I don't believe. I'm going to be like the Israelites who complain about everything. And when your attitude gets to that point where it becomes so bad, oh, He'll open the earth and swallow you up. Amen. No, that's not true. Amen. Well, maybe. I don't know. Don't look at other people and don't wish for their life because you've got no idea, bro. Brother, sister, you've got no idea what they have to endure. And God has created them to endure what they have to endure and put in them the things that they have to have. Now, if it's been a little rough, if it's been really rough, there must be a reason for it. There must be a reason. Maybe the devil knows that there's something about you that God has put in you that is so awesome and has the potential to do so much damage to the kingdom of darkness. And God's put this in you, but you just don't seem to be able to get to it. You don't seem to be able to grasp that God has actually placed this inside you. But the devil even sees it. So he throws everything at you to try and get you to be destroyed. But God has put something in you to prevent every attack and every plan and every temptation. He's put something in you to be able to overcome. You will make it if you lean on Him. But how about getting to the point where you get up and you say, well, I understand that it's really hard and I understand that it's really tough and I can't overcome this thing, God, but with You, maybe I can. Amen. All right. Don't think the guys in the Bible, let's look at David, Psalm 69, verse number 1. Listen to how he cries out to God. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. David would be in situations, and most of the time it was his own fault, but he would be in these situations where it would be so desperate. And you can see in that hour, he is so desperate, but he had one little key. And that's the very last three words, four words. In this trauma, in this temptation, in this anguish, in this pain that David's going through, he says, I wait for my God. He had the ability to put his trust in God no matter what came against him, no matter what temptation came, no matter what test came, no matter what trial came, he would fail sometimes, but when he failed, he would know the only place for restoration, the only place for healing, the only place where he would be able to be restored would be in the place where he waits for God. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Job 1, verse number 6. Oh, nobody likes this. Job isn't good stuff, you know. My goodness. Are you guys all good? Job 1, verse number 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Now watch, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side?'" Now listen to me. You can see in that scripture that God is in control. I'm going to say that again. God is in control. I cannot handle it when I hear people say, "Oh, you know, God's not really in control. This is the kingdom of the darkness and da 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 da." Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased. In other words, Satan is saying, he worships you, he praises you because you've protected him. I can't get to him. I can't get to him. So guys, you must understand, God is in control. Now watch. "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And for those of you that know the story, it wasn't very good for Job. But in the end, Job was able to survive. Please don't panic. Take a deep breath. Okay, God's not going to take the hedge away from you. He's going to protect you. Amen? But the reality is that everything that comes against you, you will be able to make it, because he knows what he's put inside you, and he knows you can survive this. Amen? You can and you will survive this trial, temptation, test, whatever it is you're busy going through, whatever it is God has maybe allowed to take place in your life to see what's in your heart. He will get you through it. You will be able to make it through. Amen. Job was faithful, and he was able to make it through everything he went through. You don't know what you can handle. I'm going to say that again. You don't know what you can handle. But when everything comes against you, you will be able to find out. And you will be able to handle whatever comes. You will be able to handle every disappointment. You will be able to handle every temptation. You will be able to handle every trial, everything that comes against you. You will be able to handle it. Some of you shouldn't be alive. Some of you have handled things already. If you think back and you think to yourself, how the heck did I make it through that? But you did. Some of you have lost marriages. Some of you have got broken homes. Some of you have had to deal with drug-infested kids. But the reality is you are still here. You have made it through. Come on, guys. But when everything goes wrong, we just need a little tablet to make us feel better. Just a little extra wine at night, just calm everything down. You know, just another glass of red wine. Or don't look at me and pretend you don't drink wine. Some of you do. Relax, I don't drink red wine, okay? Christians and wine, it's ridiculous. Amen. Some of us can't sleep at night, so we need to take tablets to sleep. Now listen, we go through stuff in life and that's okay. But the reality is, we need to put our trust in Him because He's created you to be able to survive. He's created you to be able to make it through. He's created you and He's given you the ability to make it through everything you're going through, every test you've been through. There are people sitting here, and I know you have been to hell and back, and you've been back to hell, and you've come back again, and you shouldn't be here anymore, but somehow God got you through. Why? Because He created you with the ability to survive. But in the wilderness, it was the complainers that didn't make it. It was those who didn't believe. It was those who always had something to say. Oh, that Moses and and always a complaining and complaining and always moaning and never ever just saying, God, I trust you. God, I'm going to make it. Lord, look, let me stop looking at him. Let me look at myself. What's going on in me? What needs to change in me? God's busy working with you. And if I irritate you, he'll put another me in your life. He'll put another me in your life when that other me in your life isn't there. He's going to keep on putting someone like me in your life to aggravate you because I'm not the problem. You're the problem. You have to change. They didn't like Moses. So how do we survive when we just feel like we can't deal with this thing that is going on in our lives right now? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now I know I don't aggravate most of you. Come on, guys, a little bit of support. Amen. No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape. Now watch. That you may be able to bear it. He'll make a way for you, not so that you can run away from it, but so that you will be able to bear everything thrown at you. You will be able to bear it. You will be able to handle it. Listen, even Paul had to struggle with some stuff in his flesh, and he was able to bear it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 8. Here comes the punch today. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, listen, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We want God to take away our afflictions and our weaknesses. But the reality is while you're going through this and you don't understand it, and it's not always nice, and I understand it, but the reality is while you're going through it, His grace is sufficient for you. You will make it. You will survive that thing. You will survive that thing that you think is the very thing that will stop you from progressing into your destiny and your purpose. You will make it. His grace is sufficient for you. You are going to survive. You are going to get through it. Amen. The enemy will tell you you can't make it. The enemy will tell you that you're bad. The enemy will tell you that you're weak. Who do you think you are? These are the words of the enemy. Do you realize how many times you haven't been able to overcome this thing? Do you really think God will be able to use you? You keep on making the same mistake over and over. And God is busy saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And the enemy comes and he accuses you. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not interested in what you're doing, son. I'm interested in your heart, son. I'm interested, are you going to be like David who says, I look for you, God. I only get my healing in you. I feel like I'm up to my neck and I can't breathe anymore, but I trust you, God. Or are you going to listen to the enemy who says, you see, you aren't going to make it. You see, you're not good enough. You see, you're not going to do well. You see, you won't be able to progress. That's what he does. How can God use someone like you? But if God didn't think you wouldn't be able to handle what's coming against you, He wouldn't have allowed it. I didn't say He made it happen. I said He wouldn't have allowed it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When it's going tough and it's going rough and everything's coming against you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can make it. You will be able to make it. Amen. The devil looks at you and he's sure with this last little attack or this next little plan he has, this little device or scheme that he has against you, he's convinced he'll get you to give up. Or he'll get you to stop praying. Or he'll get you to stop seeking God. Or he'll get you to blame God. Or he'll get you to give up on God. Or he'll make you think that this is all God has for you. Because that's exactly what he wants. I don't know about you, but I know there's more. I know there's more. I will always remain thirsty. I will never be satisfied. That's why when I see a lady in church, when we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I see her pray in tongues and she can't pray and even speak in English, I get really excited. Paul said, I did not come to you with words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of power. If you study it, if you go and study the book of Acts and you put it into context, you'll actually see that Paul was busy. There was a minister, his name was Apollos, and he was a wonderful minister. And I really want to preach a sermon on this, but I'm just going to say this. And Apollos was a wonderful servant of the Lord. And he would go and minister, but he was very eloquent and he would be able to take the scriptures and be able to show the Jews how Jesus really was the Messiah. But after Apollos would be in a region, for example, in Ephesus, while Paul would come down into Ephesus, he would see all the converts. And then he would say to them, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Or he would say to them, what baptism have you been baptized? They would say, the baptism of John, which is repentance. And then he would lay his hands on them and baptize them all in the Holy Spirit. What would he do? He would demonstrate the power of God. He would let their eyes open. He would open their eyes. He would open their hearts. He would open their spirits that they would become not only believers, but they would become alive in him. They would be able to breathe in him. Apollos wasn't bad. It was just he was very intellectual. Nothing wrong with intellectualism, but we need the power too. Amen. If you look at John and Peter, they went down to Samaria after Philip was in Samaria and demons were screaming out and people were being touched. The first thing the disciples did, the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, the first thing they did was they went down to Samaria to find out, did you only get saved or did you get filled with the Spirit as well? So what did he do? What did they do? They laid their hands on him and baptized him in the Holy Spirit so that they could all speak in tongues. Go read your Bible. You need the supernatural to make it. You need His power in your life. You need His love. You need His power. You need to know Him. I can't make it without those supernatural moments. I can't. Maybe you can. I'm not created like that. He knew I needed it. Thank God He gave it to me. Amen. Amen. I tell you, when I see God move, it keeps me going. Imagine ministering week after week, month after month, and never seeing anything supernatural. It would be dry. All right, that was a rabbit run. Let's carry on. The devil does not know what God's put in you. So when he throws his little devices at you, what he doesn't realize is if you finally realize that you can't make it on your own, that you can only make it with him, but he's already put inside you what you need to overcome this attack that Satan is now about to throw at you. Man, he's going to eventually just going to give up. Because if you read the story of Job, you don't hear about anything else after that. You just hear that he had a great life after that. Well, I'm telling you, after that whole thing that went down, God said to the devil, enough of you. Now, we know that there was fear and all the stuff with Job. Let's not get into that, okay? Now, let's read this. Are you ready? Let's go to Luke 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That doesn't mean the attack won't come. But if you know who you are and you know who your God is, when the attack comes, instead of going into mourning, and we do, and there are times we need to mourn, I understand that. But go into warfare and kick the devil's butt, because he cannot understand how you can still be going, how you can still be surviving. He cannot understand that you can endure this infliction. He cannot understand it. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 10. Listen to Paul. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, my God, in distresses. This guy was Superman. Why? Because of Christ's sake. Now watch, and he has the key, guys. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when you are weak, he is made strong. When you are weak and you realize that you can't do this on your own and you lean on him, he begins to rise up inside of you. Remember, he put something inside you. That something is everything that he is inside you. He's placed it inside you, the ability to overcome. And when you are at your weakest, and when you are being infirmed, and when you are being attacked, when you can continue to serve, and you can continue to pray for the sick, when you are sick, when everything's coming against you, and you should really feel like God doesn't do that anymore, but you continue to pray, and you continue to press in, and it doesn't matter what comes against you, you just keep going. It's when you are weak that he is so strong in you, because you should have given up by now. You should have stopped by now. You should have laid down by now, but you haven't. You've continued, and you've pressed on, and while you are weak, He's so strong in you, and He can do anything through you, and He will give you the ability to overcome. And at the end of your life, you will be able to say, I finished the race. I didn't give up. I believe with all my heart that in this room are overcomers. You wouldn't be here if you haven't already overcome. You've made it this far. Doesn't matter how rough it's going right now. I don't like your pain, but you will get through this. You will make it to the other side. And when you make it through, you will be stronger than you were last time. And if you are wise enough to realize that even in this dark hour, it was all God that managed to get you through it. It's not the arm of the flesh. It's not the wine. It's not this pain. It's none of that that will get you through. They'll help you for a little while, but they're not going to get you through, guys. Only He will get you through. Only He will really take away that pain. Amen. Amen. I'm almost done. I have one more scripture. Mark 10:27 says this. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. All things are possible. When I am weak, it's only when I'm weak that I'm really strong. Because then His strength in me begins to rise up, because I can't overcome this thing. Now, I don't know what you're going through and what you're dealing with right now in your life. But just cry out to Him right now where you are in your seat. Just begin to speak to the Lord and just say to Him, Father, I don't know what you're dealing with. If you're dealing with something right now, or some pressure, some temptation, some trial, whatever it is, He's with you. And He's given you the ability to overcome and to make it through this thing you're going through right now. And just acknowledge that He is the one who will get you through. Like David did when he was up to his neck and couldn't breathe anymore, he would wait upon the Lord. He's going to get you through this. He knows your pain. And let me tell you, He doesn't like to see you suffer. He hates it when you suffer. He loves you. He has good thoughts towards you. His plans for you are so wonderful. Unfortunately, we get in the way of His plans for us. So just begin to cry out to Him. Just begin to speak to Him. Father, we worship You this morning in this place. And we know that it's not by might or by power, but by Your Spirit, that we can do these things, that we can make it through, Father. You are a good God and a kind God and a merciful God. And thank You that we know we will be able to endure everything that comes against us, because You will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to handle. There are people in this room, Father, I know myself, I've been at that place where I wanted to give it all up, but I never did because of You. You pulled me through. You gave me the ability to make it through. And everyone here has made it through because of You. Because of You. And so we cry out to You this morning. We commit our lives to You this morning. We give our hearts to You this morning in this place. Thank You. Thank You. And this morning, Father, I pray as the pastor of this house for every person in this house, that that hedge of protection will be solid around every one of them. Father, for You hear the cries and the prayers of Your saints. We pray for each and every one of these, that You will protect them from the enemy, that You will guard them and cover them and hide them, Father. That, Lord, that their afflictions will not be too much for them to bear, but they will be able to go through it and make it to the other side. Father, I pray that we will be like Paul and keep our eyes on the prize and make it to the other side, victorious. And at the end of our lives, we will be able to say, I have finished the race. I have fought the fight. I've made it. Not because of me, but because you carried me all the way to the finish line. So we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning. You're a good God. You're a kind God. You're a wonderful God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Your presence is so wonderful. You are so wonderful. Where would we be without you? Where would we be without you, Lord? We are your children. You are our Father. Thank you. Thank you. Now I pray, Father, that as we leave this place today, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of these precious people as they leave this place today. Let your grace and your mercy and your love follow them everywhere they go. And Father, let this peace that's in this place right now, let it follow us, let it stay with us, for it's a peace not as the world gives it. It's your peace. It's your peace, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And don't forget, you are going to make it.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.